He skidded to a stop when he saw Annalena Head, just standing there, her ankles lost in a lowering cloud of chemical retardant. The haze inside was still thick, but the flashing blue lights had stopped. And in place of the many combatants seen on the monitor earlier, only one figure stood now amid the smashed tables of the luncheonette. Ben. Standing over the bodies of a dozen or more sand people, his hand slipped inside his tunic, as casually as if he were putting away his credit pouch. A familiar, old, and now very weary voice came through the mist from Orin and Annalene's right. While Ulbrecht popped out from behind the gun counter, repeating blaster rifle in hand.
Die, you wretched!
Ben stepped quickly between the old farmer and the newcomers.
It's all right, Master Ulbrecht. It's just friends here.
He gestured to the fallen sand people.
You got them all.
Warren looked at the bodies, stunned, and then up at Ben. The man had a canny look on his face.
While did all this?
Suddenly self-conscious, Ben stammered.
I saw what he was up against.
He gestured to the spent canister nearby.
They just needed a little distraction so he could finish the job.
Annalene looked dumbfounded. At Ben, then at Ulbrecht, and finally at the mess of a store.
I'm speechless, she said.
Orin looked at the old man, coughing as he staggered out from behind his makeshift fortress.
I woke up and these characters were coming in,
Ulbrecht said, eyes wandering in tired amazement.
I don't rightly know how I got them all.
But you did,
Ben quickly offered.
Every one. All on your own.
Orin shook his head. Old Ulbrecht would be telling this story for years. Orin stepped over to try to help the frazzled man stand, only to have his effort rebuffed.
Let me go, Galt,
Ulbrecht snarled at him, suddenly fully aware again.
And you wanted to provide security for me? You can't even keep your own spread safe.
Orin's breath caught in his throat. Yes, this surely looked bad. But the blaster fire was still going outside, and the other Tuscans might re-enter at any minute. He prodded Ulbrecht toward the center of the store, and the old man didn't object. Annalene was in motion now. Stepping over body, she reached her counter. Ben saw her kneel and start to dig around.
What are you looking for?
The cash box!
Orin raised an eyebrow.
I don't think the Tuscans care much for credits.
Annalene ignored him. Finding the box beneath a smashed shelf, she slipped Danar's old pistol from its position in the lock.
Here,
she said, tossing the weapon to Ben. Orin darted from one shelf to another, trying to stay out of sight of the doorways. There were Tuscans everywhere outside, and with the screen of the chemical fog dissipating, every entrance was vulnerable. Reaching Ben, Orin saw the man holding the pistol, contemplating it.
I hope you learned to use that where you came from.
Ben had started to respond when figures loomed in the doorways on every side of the store. Tuscans all, carrying Gaderfi and blaster rifles. Orin started to raise his rifle, only to have Ben place his hand on the farmer's wrist.
Not now, Ben said.
The Tuscans at the front of the store parted to allow another to enter. Orin strained to see through the haze. Shorter than the others, this one wore looser-fitting robes with no bandolier and only a single eyepiece on the left. A red gem glinted where the right eye should be.
Plug eye,
Orin whispered gravely. This was it. He hoped his kids had made it out. But the lead Tuscan wasn't interested in Orin. A wrapped hand thrust forward, pointing at Annalene.
Enagrosh,
a low voice said, less guttural than the other Tuscans whom Orin had heard. And he heard many, now as the others repeated the same word.
Enagrosh!
They mean you,
Ben said, watching Annalene walk around from behind the counter, cash box in hand.
Orin moved to stop her, but Ben again held his arm. I think she's got this, he said confidently.
Annalene stood bravely before the Tuscans, opened the cash box, and pressed the button of the small device inside. A device Orin recognized as the remote control activator for the settler's call. A call which now went out from the oasis, both over the airways and as a roaring scream from a siren outside. A siren that still worked. The recorded crate dragon screeched, and behind Plug-Eye, the sand people responded as sand people usually did.
We're closed, Annalene said coldly. Get the hell out of my store.
Chapter 17. For the second time in a month, a Yark stood before a human settlement, yelling after fleeing cowards.
Prodora! Prodora! Hoax!
It was no use.
Despite the war leader's efforts to teach the others, it was the morning raid at the farm all over again. A Yark had explained that the Crate Dragon call was a deceit. They even knew how to silence it, by attacking the towering water leech with the soundmaker atop it. Their minds understood, and their bodies had followed the initial plan, but their attacks had failed to squelch the siren, and now their spirits betrayed them. Even Adin had fled the airshaper's home, ignoring his honored parent. A Yark looked back over the rise of the structure. The airshaper was still in there, as were the bodies of the first wave of Tuscan attackers. So many slain. Had the airshaper somehow struck them down? This was her sanctuary. It made sense she would call upon all her powers to defend it. But a Yark still knew the numbers favored the Tuscans if they could be compelled to fight. Young Adin skittered up the dune.
We must go!
The youth said, rushed breaths whistling through his mouthpiece.
Now!
Adin was a Yark's only surviving child. Yet the warrior struggled to resist the urge to smash the youth's face in. Such fear in a Yark's bloodline? Unthinkable. So a Yark chose not to think on it.
No. Recall the others. We get what we came for, or...
The warrior's head turned. The siren was still